Well, you can all read, but I will mention that it's from John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Lord will add his own blessing to his word.
Just to let you know what's been going on, we've started just a couple of weeks ago a new series of evening sermons in the Gospel of John. And we're going to be going through a few verses at a time through the Gospel of John between now and the Sunday after Easter. We've now worked out the next bit of the rota that takes us through. See, you're thinking about Christmas. We've been planning Easter this week. We've worked out the preaching themes through to the week after Easter, and we'll be finishing with the resurrection appearances on Easter Sunday and the service after Easter, the week after Easter. And we're starting this series. It's going to take us 20 odd weeks to work through the Gospel of John, reading every verse and talking about a few of them. And so we're picking up on the second half of the first chapter with Jesus calling his first disciples. Back in May, I was sat in a tiny little village in southern Nepal. Yeah, I'm sorry, I did say it. In southern Nepal, right on the Indian border. And to get to this village, we'd had to abandon the car because it couldn't get down the footpath to get to the village. And we'd hiked literally across country, down into a valley, walked through a river, up the other side, down into the next valley, through another river, to get to this little village, tucked away in the foothills of the mountains in Nepal, right on the Indian border. When we got there, we were introduced to the pastor. The pastor had met us actually on the road and had walked us in, and he started introducing us to the church. And as we walked through this tiny little village, tucked away in the jungle, in the Terai of southern Nepal, as we walked into the village, so people started falling in behind us, and they followed us down into the chapel, into the little church that they'd built. And through an interpreter, the pastor told us how 10 years ago there was no church and no Christians in this village. And now they built a church and they were opening a school and they got all sorts of ministries going on. And a little thriving community of Christians in the middle of this Hindu valley and a Hindu village. As we walked past the water pump which Tear Fund had put in a few years ago, the locals had decorated it with the god Ganesh, with the Indian god Ganesh. And that was the village. It was a Hindu village with the water pump dedicated to Ganesh. And we went in to the Christian church and sat down. And I said, how big's the church? He said, oh, it's about 200. 10 years the church has been there. No Christians at all before that. In the whole valley, a church of 200 people sat on the side of the river here in this little valley in southern Nepal. And we were introduced to this fella. You may not be able to see him quite so well in the middle picture, but if you sat in the middle aisle, if you sat on the sides, you'll see him really, really well. We were introduced to this chap. And the pastor said, I want you to meet a dear friend of mine. 10 years ago, he was in Pokhara, and he was taken sick, and he was taken into the hospital, and he was ministered to, and he met some Christians who told him the gospel, and he was converted and saved. And he made his way back home again here, and he walked into the valley. He walked great distances to get here. And he arrived in the village, and for a long time he was shunned. People didn't want to know him, didn't want to talk to him because he'd abandoned his family religion and abandoned the Hindu gods and had become a Christian. And there was a whole church full of people, as I say, who'd followed us in to come and meet us. And he said, and he preached the gospel to my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law told my wife about Jesus. And I was converted. And then he started pointing and he said, and I told the gospel to her and to her, and to him, and to him, and they became believers. And then she preached the gospel to that family there, and those people there, and that one there, and they became believers. And that member of that family went and got his sister from another village and brought her back. And she was, and he went through the entire church, and he was able to say, so-and-so brought so-and-so, who fetched so-and-so, who brought someone else who shared the gospel. And he went through the whole of the church, a couple of hundred folk, and was able to point to every one of them and say who had preached the gospel to them and why had they come to faith in the first place. And we said, what's your plans from now on? He said, well, he said that this church will seat the 200 of us, so we need to expand it soon. But our target is in the next 10 years to have a church of 1,000 meeting here, and people will come from other places, and then we can start planting churches around as well. And so she is going to take the gospel to her father-in-law's family, who are in the village just down the way, and she's got a plan to go and preach, and they knew exactly, they had a strategy of who was going to speak to who, and who they knew who had spoken to who. I love this reading we've had today. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God, verse 35. When the two disciples heard of this, they followed Jesus. And one of them was Andrew. John the Baptist told Andrew and another disciple. He's not named. Many people think it was John, the author of the Gospel. But John told Andrew and John, or this other disciple. What is it he tells them? He says, behold, look, let me show you the Lamb of God. Let me show you Jesus, the one who I told you about, who'd come to take away the sins of the world. And it says that the first thing that Andrew did was he went and he grabbed his brother. And so Andrew told Peter. It's the next day. This is happening in a day. And the gospel has grown three generations. John has recognized Jesus for who he is. If you read the last bit, it says, I didn't know who he was, but I recognized him when the Spirit came upon him. John discovered Jesus, and John tells Andrew, and Andrew tells Peter. In just a day, the gospel has gone out in those concentric circles. And it says that Andrew went and found his brother and said, come and see, come and follow. We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I know your name. I'm going to give you a new name. I know who you are and who you were. I'm going to change your life. You were Peter, but you're going to be the rock. You were Simon, but you're going to be the rock. You're going to be something that I use and build an entire church on, which is what we learn about later. But if we read out into the next bit, it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. But it's this next verse that I find really interesting. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. I don't know if you've ever thought about how big villages and towns and cities were in the ancient world. But the cities were tiny. The cities were smaller than Penarth. And the towns were what we would call villages. And the villages were what we might call hamlets. The villages often were just a single family. And sometimes even the towns were only a collection of two or three families. And the gospel writer here, John, makes this real point of telling us that Peter knew Philip, that Peter was the same, telling us from, that Peter was from the same town, from the same small community as Peter. Can you imagine if we lived out, Peterston Super Ely or somewhere like that? You would know all your neighbours, wouldn't you? You would know all the people. And it says that Jesus made a point of going and finding Philip. Philip, who I'm assuming, and I am reading into the text here, but I think it's a reasonable assumption. Philip, who knew Andrew and Peter. And again, I'm reading into the text, but I'm wondering, why did Jesus go and get Philip? Why was it that Jesus went and got Philip? Could it be because Andrew had told him about it and said, I know someone. Let me add someone else to this band. Let's go and get someone else. Let's go and get Philip. And then straight away, it tells us something else. It says then that Philip went and got Nathanael. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, and Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote. And Nathanael's a little bit skeptically says, can anything good come from there? Can anything good come from that town, from Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. And then Philip and Nathanael have this encounter. I want us just to notice what happened in this little story. If my reading of the Philip and the Nathanael and the Nathanael and Andrew bit is even plausible, and if it's not, it doesn't really matter. The point still holds true. But look, what happens? Let's have the next slide. John the Baptist told Andrew, and Andrew told Peter, and Peter had some kind of relationship with Philip, and Philip tells Nathanael. And what we see is that the gospel is spread from person to person, who know each other, that they fetch their brothers and their friends and people from the local town and the lad who lived down the street that they grew up with. That the gospel is spread not by Jesus standing on a mountainside, although he'll do that later, and preaching to big crowds. The gospel is spread by people who've met Jesus going and fetching someone else. The way the gospel spreads is when you tell your brother and your sister and your brother-in-law, and you leave this place having been touched by the Spirit of God, and you think, I've got a plan. I'm going to go and tell my brother's wife about Jesus. I'm going to go and tell the lady down the road about Jesus. That as John told Andrew, and Andrew told Peter, and Peter told Philip, and Philip told Nathanael, so you can go. Just as someone came to you one day, so you can go and pass it on to someone else. Now, when we read the Bible, what we see is, if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it to John chapter 1. But in verse 29, it starts off with this phrase, the next day. And down in verse 35, it starts off with this phrase, the next day. And down in verse 43, it starts off with this phrase, the next day. These guys were meeting Jesus and hearing about Jesus, and something was so overwhelming them that immediately they were getting up the next day and going and telling someone else. And I find it interesting what it is that's the message. If we were preaching the gospel, what would we preach? Presumably we'd preach something along the lines of the Roman road. We're all sinners, all have sinned, the wages of sin of death, you go into hell, but thanks be to God, the cross has saved us. That's how we share the gospel. What does Jesus say? John has told his disciples, the two disciples, and they start to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want? What is it you're looking for? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? They start to ask him these questions. Where are you staying? What's going on? What's happening here? And Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. He doesn't turn to them and say, I've come to save you from your sins, that you're a sinner. He doesn't turn around and say, you've got to change your life. He doesn't turn around and say, let me explain to you the greatness of God's plan and the majesty of all. He doesn't do any of that. He says, just come and see. Come and hang out for a while. Come and, as the Americans would say, come and visit with me and see what happens. See what's going to go on. I find it really interesting that a little later on, that when John sends messengers to Jesus to say, are you the one, are you the Messiah? Or is there someone else who should come afterwards? He doesn't open up the prophet Isaiah. He doesn't, well, he does a little bit. But what I'm saying, he doesn't hold a great sermon. He just says, go and tell him what you see. Go and tell John what you see. That the kingdom of God is breaking in. There's healing and there's good news that's actually being worked out. What is the message? It's come and see. And when we read a little bit later on about Nathanael and Philip, Nathanael is skeptical. Philip says to him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets also wrote. And he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Really? Can anything good come from there? What is it that Philip says? He says, come and see. Just come and hang out for a while. Come and hang around Jesus. And come around and hang around the friends of Jesus. And see what you make of it yourself. You've all got friends. You've all got family members who don't know Jesus. We all have. And any one of us can say, we may not be able to say, let me tell you the gospel. We may not know how to do that. We may not have the courage to do that. We may be worried that if we start sharing the gospel in what might be called more traditional ways, that people will be offended and won't want to be our friends anymore or will withdraw. But all of us can say, well, come and hang out for a while. Let me invite you to come and hang out with my friends. I'm meeting together with my Bible study group next week and we're going for a curry. Come and see what we're about. Come and see what kind of community this church is that I'm telling you about. We're doing something at church. We're having a lunch because we got a new pastor and we're going to have a bit of a tea afterwards. Come and see what's going on. We're going to get together on Sunday and you've probably never seen anything like our church. The worship that we have probably isn't what you're expecting. Come and see. Just come and hang out. I had a wonderful incident, I'm just going to check they're not here, but a wonderful incident just before we went on holiday where we'd had a service in the morning and it had been quite a lively service and I was really excited at the end of it. We'd had a couple of people who had given their lives to Christ and the worship had been a little bit more lively than normal. And at the end, I was sort of making my way around the building with my cup of coffee, just trying to pick out one or two folk who were visitors, whose faces I didn't recognize. And there was a couple who were just about where you are, Dot, and they were sat in a chair. And so I went over and I introduced myself and said, well, thank you for coming today. What's your story? I always want to know, are people just visiting and passing through? Are they on holiday? Have they been bought by a friend because there's some family event on? Or have they just recently moved to Penarth and they're looking for a church? Because if they tell me that, I'm going to really zero in on them and spend some time with them. And I said, you know, what's your story? And they said, oh, well, we're on holiday. We've got a motorhome. And we're traveling around Wales and the southwest of England, and we're just going from place to place. And before we left home, we looked on the internet. We knew we were going to be here, just down the road at Sully, on this Sunday. And so we wanted to find out a local church. And so we Googled churches, Penarth and Vale of Glamorgan, and yours was top of the list. And we looked at your website, and we came along. Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're Baptist. We go to a Baptist church in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. And so we thought we'd come along. I said, well, I'm really pleased to see you today. Thank you for coming. And the fellow said, but I've got a question, with his Belfast accent. He said, well, a question. Are you really a Baptist church? And I thought, yeah. He said, we don't have anything. Baptist churches aren't like this. Pentecostal churches might be a bit like this in Northern Ireland or you know, one or two of the free churches, but we wouldn't have a Baptist church like this. Are you sure you're a Baptist? And I said, yeah, we're really, it says on the front of the building, Tabernacle Baptist Church, we must be. Come and see. You've got friends who think that church is one particular thing, and it's not. It's about something else. And frankly, I'm absolutely honest about this. We could get rid of all of this tomorrow and sing with just a piano or sing with just an organ or sing a cappella. As long as we're worshipping Jesus and as long as it's coming from the heart, I don't care. And I'd still say to people, come and see. Come and see the community. Come and see this fellowship which collects food to feed those who are hungry. Come and see this fellowship that shares its money and has a shared bank account. Come and see this fellowship where someone's homeless, somebody else will take them into their house. When someone comes from Uganda and needs somewhere to stay for a couple of years, someone in the church will say, yeah, I'll do that. Even if it is somebody else's teenager, which I can't imagine anything worse than having them living with you. Come and see what kind of community this is. You can do that, can't you? You've got Andrews and Peters and Nathaniels and Simons in your family. And some of them are really skeptical. Can anything good come from Penarth? You know, we say it, don't we? Can anything good come from Barry? Well, can anything good come from Penarth? We say it. Well, come and see. Come and hang out with us for a while. Come and meet with Jesus. The next day, John finds Jesus. The next day, John tells Andrew and someone else. And Andrew tells Peter. And Peter seems to have this relationship with Philip. And Philip tells Nathaniel. And we could go on. Peter tells hundreds on the day of Pentecost. I'm confusing days because I'm taking deceit slides out of sequence now. But Peter tells hundreds and thousands on the day of Pentecost. He says, you know what? I've met the Messiah. The one whom was crucified and who rose from the dead. Let me tell you who he is. Because I've hung out with him. And I've met who he is. And I've discovered who he is. And it's really good news. And it's for you as well. And it's for your children and your children's children. Why don't you come and see? Come. Don't just take my word for it. You know, you can see what's happening. Something unusual is happening. Something fantastic is happening. Come and see. Peter, who'd been fetched by Andrew, who'd been told by John, is now telling hundreds. Let me tell you about Jesus. Acts 8, Philip tells the Samaritans. It says he goes to a village in Samaria and he tells the whole town about Jesus. And leaving there, he's walking along a road led by the Spirit. And traveling by the chariot, and sat in the back of a chariot, an Ethiopian, and he's reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he's puzzling away, and he's saying, I don't get this. He's reading it out loud. And he runs alongside him, and he says, do you know what you're reading? Well, let me tell you. I know who it is, because I've met him. And you can meet him too. See, the circles go out, and out, and out. But there's a problem with this model. There's a problem with this method. And it's Jesus' only plan. There's no plan B. You will be my witnesses. He doesn't say, you'll be my witnesses, and if you're not very good, I'll send some angels. No plan B. This is it. There's a problem with this model, which is it only takes one generation to stop saying, come and see. And the process stops. So I'm going to finish, and we're going to finish 20 minutes of sermon. I'm going to finish. But I want to finish with this question. Who have you told lately? Who have you told lately? Have you got a brother who doesn't know Jesus? I know who you've told. You've told him, and I know who you're telling. You're telling all sorts of people. It's brilliant. But the rest of us, those of us who are over 17, who have become a bit cautious, who have you told lately? Your brother? Your mother-in-law? Your neighbor? Because this model breaks down completely when people stop telling other people. Who have you told lately? Not great theological treatises about the nature of God and the models of the atonement and what was going on at the cross. And I don't mean that. Though it's great if you can do that. I mean, who have you just said, come and see? I've met Jesus and he's changed my life. I used to be like one way and now I'm another way because Jesus has changed me. Come and see for yourself. Who have you told lately? And if it's nobody lately, then how about the next day? How about tomorrow? How about the next day? How about this week? as I read that, it just struck me that sometimes I can go weeks only speaking to Christians and speaking to the church. The reason the church grew so rapidly is because they didn't wait 6 months to build up courage and to go to people. They did it the next day. They went immediately. And we can do the same. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and with those you love this night and then forevermore. Amen. Let's say together the words of the grace as we close. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.